proceed to the third case of the morning, which is Ameritech Information Systems versus Barcode Resources. Mr. Rose.
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Doug Rose. I represent Barcode Resources. This is a contract case. We know that courts strain to uphold contracts. We know that courts look to the intent of the parties. We know that courts look to allocation of risk and they encourage it. The economic loss doctrine, things like that. Courts continue to look to the parties. They want to encourage contracts, encourage them to put their agreements in writing to uphold the contract. What do we have here? We have a very, very good contract in this case. We have two parties, Ameritech, a large party, and my client, Barcode Resources, a party who did a good job, a business that did a good job in making sure that there was a good agreement here. And that's the crux of our appeal. The crux of our appeal is that the contract somehow got lost. And I think it's important in this argument to come up with a reason why. Because we had a good judge here. Judge Grady did a very good job. He spent the time. It was a two-week court trial. And during that two-week court trial, Judge Grady looked at everything. But this was a very detailed computer-type case involving things like HLAPI, an acronym that stands for Human Language Application Interfaces and things like that. And very quickly, after the contract was put in, we stipulated to the contract. There wasn't much discussion about it because it's very clear and detailed and right there for the judge. We got into the difficult issues in this case to understand, which were computer issues, interfaces and data and linear streams and print streams, that all of a sudden were very difficult for the judge to deal with, in our opinion. And that's where the case went. Who was responsible for these print stream problems? Who was responsible for determining how the linear data should come out of a mainframe computer? And the case took on a life of its own, and eventually, after a lengthy trial, it was delayed for a number of times. Judge Grady reached a decision about the print stream. But the problem was, and the reason we need this appeal, is because after he reached the decision on the print stream and decided Ameritech or Barcode, he failed, understandably because of the details and complex issues with the computers, he failed to go back to the contract. And the contract is so clear. We have a great contract here, first of all, as far as damages. Indemnification and limitation of liability. This contract says unequivocally, supplier's liability on any, and I love the word, any claim for damages under this agreement shall, it's not should, must, it's not ambiguous at all, it shall be limited to direct damages. Well, that's a great start right there. But
what are direct damages, though? He's saying, I don't know whether they call it a refund or restitution or something, but the money paid on the contract for work that never was achieved is, in effect, not part of the damages, or at least it's a refund. And so that's why he's bringing in the amount for the other, what's the name of the other company?
The other company is SHL System House.
Yeah, SHL, and totaling the two together. But at least the way I understand it, part of that is asserted to be a refund and not damages.
Consequential
damages would be the business lost or something like that.
Two points.
Which is not included.
Two points in response to your question. Number one, right back where I was reading, it doesn't stop there at direct damages. It says, and shall not exceed the total purchase price of the software, services, and goods.
Which was what?
Which was what my client, Barcode Resources, provided for a warehouse management system and an interface.
Is there a number?
Yep. There is a number, $377,624 was the amount of money actually paid to my client, Barcode Resources.
Well, that's the money that was paid back.
And that is the money that the judge ordered paid back. That is part of the total $515,124.
What is the ceiling that you're saying was exceeded?
Well, we think the ceiling has to be pursuant to that portion of the contract. You can't exceed the total purchase price. We were paid $377,624.
Well,
you can't go above that.
That was a partial payment, wasn't it?
It was an 80% payment. That's correct.
Okay, well, I don't know. And, of course, it was a long way from 80% done, if I understand.
Well, that's a question that I would argue, but
maybe we don't need to know that.
We have to defer to the trial court. So I understand what you're saying, Judge, but first, I don't see how in any way, shape, or form you can get past this really detailed, very nice contract provision that says the total purchase price of the software. We gave back, if you put the judgment at $377,624, and ignoring for the moment the notice provision argument that we don't think anything should be paid back, but if you put it at $377,624, that is every penny we were paid. We get, if you put the judgment there, we've given everything back. I think it's real important to note here the relationship of the parties, and that might be a little difficult in briefs, maybe a little better in oral argument here. We have Ames, which is the Ameritech Information Management System, a very large mainframe computer that spits out data. And the data used to go to the warehouses that they used. Now, our company, BCR, does warehouse management systems. That's what we do. We do all the software and everything else for when it's in the warehouse to automate it and to use the barcode scanning systems. That's great. But what's real important here is you have an interface between this mainframe computer and our warehouse management system that we were responsible for. But what we had here was Ameritech said when it goes back, and that's the HLAPI, Human Language Application Interface, another company, SHL Systems, did that. They contracted directly with them, they talked to them directly, they paid them directly, they had a separate contract with them that we had no right to violate. That would have been interference with contract if we would have done that. That was separate, because when you went back, for some reason, Ameritech decided, in their wisdom, not ours, that a different company was going to do that interface.
And you would normally have felt to do the whole thing.
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps.
Well, I don't know either. But
I don't think it matters.
The problem was it never did connect. So that
the problem
that money
was
wasted, I guess they would say. Or
fair enough. And for purposes of this appeal, we have to assume that it never connected and it never worked. Now I could go on and on about why, but
no,
again, fair enough. but that the point is obviously what I'm saying is that a different company was involved over here, completely different company. And when I have a contract that says damages are limited by two parties who freely bargained, and it's so specific to say the total purchase price of the software, service, and goods, there is no way, in our opinion, that you can get past that. Unfortunately, Judge Grady, after determining what he did, didn't go back to that contract. And the same thing on the notice provision. You look at this contract and we say, okay, well, we determined that somebody was at fault on this failure of this interface to work. What then? In our opinion, this is simple logic. The logic is, if something happens, then what? The if here was, if what happened was a default or a breach, either one. I don't care what you call it. And it's right there in the contract. If default or breach or default, shall occur, then you give notice. If
15 days, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
notice an opportunity to cure.
As Judge Grady pointed out, it doesn't matter how much time, there's no way you're ever going to cure this, and it's not even material.
Oh, I disagree with...
He didn't say that?
I respectfully disagree with the conclusion.
With his conclusion.
His conclusion that 15 days wouldn't have done any good. It's amazing what people can accomplish when they have to.
Well, that's a good point.
It is.
The other thing,
how many people did do we know how many employees Barcode Resources had? No. Do we have any idea how many qualified computer experts they could have brought Bill Gates in?
Well,
I have a feeling Bill Gates could have solved this.
Okay, well, unfortunately they didn't do that. The other thing that I was perplexed with, nobody mentioned, is you sued first.
That's correct, because we felt we were owed money under the contract.
I know, but how can you're talking about wanting a 15-day notice. You've already filed a lawsuit.
Well, the reason we filed the lawsuit is because we gave the right notice and we gave the right opportunity to cure. And we did what the contract required us to do before we sued. And they did not.
Okay.
I certainly believe the notice provision is very important here. And it would be it is easy to say, well, perhaps you couldn't have done it within 15 days. But in our opinion, the answer is, yeah, we think we could. There has to at least be a finding on that.
Why
we never got the notice.
4 months extension time. I'm not going to pretend to even understand all this. But it seems that if you couldn't do something in 4 months and I don't know who walked off the job or who got shoved off the job, but what's another 15 days going to do?
Judge, that question...
Maybe you can save that for rebuttal. Huh?
You're putting the cart before the horse.
Oh. Okay.
We don't know. The notice has to occur first. You have to raise the red flag and say, we consider you in default or breach, and then you have to go forward and say, okay, what then? Could they then? But the initial if never happened.
Okay.
I realize I want to save some time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Nunn.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court.
My co-counsel, Carrie Karras, and I are here on behalf of Ameritech Information Systems. We urge you to affirm the decision rendered below. Judge Gray, this is a contract case, and it's a contract that Mr. Rose's client breached badly. They failed to account for one of the two formats that their computer system had to read. So were there technical issues involved here? Yes, but this is a simple case. It's a simple case because their project manager never sent the subcontract programmers in Atlanta one of the two formats that their system needed to read. Now, the reason that they breached the contract is that simple. Their arguments as to why they should not be held liable for that contract are clearly wrong. First of all, they would cite this notice provision. They say that there was no compliance with that notice provision. In the supplemental appendix, Your Honors, you will see at page 57 the notice that we faxed to them in July of 1996 that said in the second paragraph, please be advised that Ameritech considers Barcode to be in default on this agreement. There was notice, and still, after more than three months after that notice, in October of 96, they hadn't fixed anything.
I thought your argument is that notice isn't necessary here. But if it was, the fact is...
That's correct, Your Honor. It's absolutely correct. The notice was given, but it wasn't required. The contract, as it clearly states, with respect to notice, is for a termination provision, a provision where the parties say, you know what, something bad has happened, you've got 15 days to fix it, and if you can't, we're done with each other. We'll pay you to square up, you give us what you've got, and we walk away from the contract. That's very different than having that provision interpreted as a condition precedent to filing a lawsuit for breach of the contract. That right is expressly preserved in Section 23 of the contract, which reserved all of the rights, among them the right to sue. So you're right, Your Honor. The first argument we have is that notice was not required, that they are mistaking a condition precedent to termination of the contract for a condition precedent to suing for breach of that contract. And the straightforward language of Section 3.2 of the contract bears that out. They are simply wrong in saying that's a condition precedent to suit. It's a condition precedent to termination. Regardless, they got the notice in July. They complained that it wasn't sent in a certified letter. They complained that it was sent to the business owner, Mr. James Allen, as opposed to his son. The Rogers versus Baldwin case shows that that is a technical defect. It does not constitute a material breach. And finally, an opinion from the Northern District points out that notice provisions, even if they are required here, and of course we say they aren't, are separate contracts that do not, separate covenants that do not give rise to an excuse for a breach. So this is a contract case. They breached that contract, and they're wrong when they say that notice was required before we could sue for breach. They're also wrong when they say they didn't get notice.
What about the amount?
The amount, Your Honor, the first point is this brief is the first time Barcode has ever raised that defense. We cited for you in our brief every time in the record below where the HLAPPI, the HLAPPI interface was mentioned. Not once did they ever claim that that amount constituted consequential damages or somehow related to software that was not furnished under the contract. Under very clear Seventh Circuit law, they have waived that argument and cannot raise it for the first time here. On the merits of that argument, they are also incorrect. They are incorrect because the contract itself defines what the software is. When you look at the very beginning of the contract, it defines what is software that's going to be furnished here under. And it says the software is defined in the statement of work. So you turn to the software rather is defined as all software that is to be provided under the statement of work. The statement of work in its first paragraph says the WMS software is a full functioning management warehouse system. WMS software will include the interface to AIMS, HLAPPI. the Jalopy software is software that is furnished under this contract. Yes, there is another contract with another party. We are not saying that Barco is exclusively responsible for the Jalopy software, but they are partially responsible for it. That is shown by the provisioning schedule, which is included in the supplemental appendix, that has Barco as a responsible party for each of the 13 steps in putting together the Jalopy. The testimony that's set forth in our brief shows that they in fact worked on the Jalopy. So the Jalopy software, even if that argument had been preserved and it had not, is software that under the definition in the statement of work was provided under this contract and another contract. Moreover, the provisioning schedule, which is also part of the contract with Barco, shows that they are responsible either solely for 5 of the 13 elements or in conjunction with SHL for the remaining 8 of the 13 elements for the Jalopy software. And lastly, there's the fact that the testimony, unrebutted, shows that they did in fact work on it. So, Your Honor, it is not, the Jalopy software is not software that was beyond the scope of this contract. It was part of this contract. And in addition, the Jalopy
software... They had no control over it, though, other than to connect
no,
up.
No, I would disagree, Your Honor. They testified that they worked on it. The provisioning schedule shows that they were responsible either solely or in conjunction with SHL for every one of the 13 steps in producing that software. So they had plenty of control over it. There was one thing and one thing alone that they were not responsible for, and that was for the Jalopy working with Ameritech's computer. They were responsible for making sure the Jalopy worked with their computer. The one exception to their responsibility, and that's spelled out again in the statement of work, page 14 of the supplemental appendix, the one thing for which they were not responsible is the Jalopy working with Ameritech's computer. So they were, in fact, responsible for it, as spelled out in the provisioning schedule that was not included in their appendix, was part of the contract, and is included in the supplemental appendix that Ameritech filed. Finally, with respect to prejudgment interest, prejudgment interest here was proper. The contract was breached. Ameritech was out $515,000 as a result of that breach. And under clear Illinois law, the breach of this written contract entitles Ameritech to the prejudgment interest. That is reviewed under the abuse of discretion standard, and Judge Grady did not abuse his discretion either in awarding that interest or in determining the amount of time, the amount of time, for which Ameritech's money was improperly withheld. In conclusion, Your Honors, I ask that you affirm the judgment below. It is not disputed that Barco breached the contract here and breached it badly. Their attempts to avoid responsibility for that breach don't square with the contract. The contract does not have a notice provision before one may sue for breach. Even if it did, notice was given in July of 1996 that substantially complied with the requirements of the contract and alerted them that there was a problem. They kept working on it throughout July, throughout August, throughout September, until they finally walked off the job in mid-October. They still hadn't gotten it right because they weren't even looking for the other format that they should have been. So notice was given. With respect to the Jalopy, they have waived that argument. And in any event, it was the Jalopy software that was provided under the contract. We urge you then to affirm the judgment below and to reject their appeal. If there are no further questions, I thank you for your time, and I will sit down.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Rose, you don't have much time. You got 30 seconds, so you can spit it out in a hurry. That'll work.
All right. The statement of work in the contract, I'm going to read it. BCR is not responsible for the SHL software working with AIMS. I can do it in 30 seconds. The contract is right there, and it's clear. That's the third provision that says we're not responsible for SHL. It was an independent contract. 30 seconds.
Okay, fine. Thanks.
Thank you, Judge.
The case will be taken under advisement.